want to say again that we really appreciate Richard and Julie Brand being with us today. They're really special friends of the church here, as everybody knows, and so wonderful to see them today. But everybody, we're thankful that you're here, especially visitors. We're glad you're with us. Invite you to come back anytime you can. Our next regular meeting will be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, where we'll be continuing our Bible classes for all ages. And I hope nobody was offended that I said we're going to boo the visiting team. I really believe that. But I got some funny looks when I said that. You know, that's our job as the home team, to make them as uncomfortable as possible. But my main point was we should never boo one another, right? We're on one another's side, and we should do anything we can to help one another follow the example of Jesus. We have a class for children up to age 5. If any parents want to take advantage of that, you can meet Tammy McGowan in the lobby at this time, and she'll be glad to help you while we study for just a little while together at this time. I want to mention that next Sunday is our Come and See Sunday, a good opportunity to invite friends to come and visit with our church. So keep that in mind. If you know someone that you care about, have an opportunity to talk to them, invite them to come and be with us next Sunday morning. And also, next Sunday morning is important because we will begin a new series of Bible classes. And I wanted to mention the topic for our adult class is going to be a study of the book of 1 Peter. But really, it's called We've Lost the Cultural War. Are we now ready to suffer? And there's been a lot of things that have happened just this year, I think, that have caused us all to realize we really have lost this war. And it really is changing in our world to a point where we might have to face persecution. And that's really what the book of 1 Peter is all about. They were going to face persecution. He said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is about to try you. And I think it's a very challenging question to think about. How would we respond? We took a survey a couple of weeks ago on that, and I'm going to share the results of that survey. But mainly we'll be studying the book of 1 Peter, and there's a workbook on our website that you can download. And again, if you don't have access to that, let me know, and I'll be sure you get a copy of it. And so that'll be our adult Bible class starting next Sunday morning. Sometime back, I was trying to give an example, an illustration of faith. And so I talked about how, imagine you're in your car, and you pull up to a four-way stop, an intersection, and you want to proceed across the intersection. And so before you do that, you notice a car is coming on your left, okay? And so if you were to proceed, it would be a collision course. And so you stop there. But then you notice he has his right turn signal on. He's going to turn right where you are. And so the idea is it would probably be safe to go ahead and proceed because he's going to turn. And so, you know, your path is open. And I was making the point that, you know, if you do that, you're really demonstrating faith because the course he's on, it would be a collision. But he has said by his turn indicator that he's going to turn. And so if you really trust that person, you know, it might be safe. Maybe I shouldn't say safe, but if you trust him, you might proceed. And that's the idea of faith, that you believe that person is going to do what he is indicating by the fact that his turn signal is on. I think we all know better than that. Ella and I were driving in this morning, and we're right down here on Middleburg Road, and she said, why do you have your turn signal on? And I wasn't planning to turn. I don't know why. There's this place in the road. I always turn it on. That's exactly what happened, okay? And so you never know. I mean, people turn it on for the wrong reasons. I gave this illustration several years ago. I don't remember when it was, but Robert Burns came up to me afterwards. And I think Andrew was thinking the same thing. And his point was that you shouldn't do that. You know, you shouldn't proceed into the intersection. And even if he does have his signal on and he go ahead and you collide, you're still at fault. You know, that signal is not any indication. It's not a guarantee that he's going to do what he says, and it doesn't protect you legally. And so it would be foolish to do that. Now, my response to Robert was, I agree. And we should all note that, okay, don't be counting on them to turn. But my illustration was, you know, we don't have faith in men. We have faith in God. And I was talking about faith. And that's true. That's really one of the main points. We can't trust what men do. They might say they're going to do one thing and do something else, or they might indicate, but it could be completely different. But if it was God driving that car, we can trust God. If God says he's going to do something, we can trust God. And so that's as far as my illustration goes. Don't try that, you know, when you're driving home today. But as far as God is concerned, you know, we can trust God. If God says he's going to do something, then we can count on that. And we should abide by the things that God has said he's going to do. There's a scripture in the book of Matthew chapter 15, I think, really addresses the same idea. Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. We sang a song a minute ago, just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. A true Christian who is planted, you know, in response to obeying the word of God will not be moved. But every plant the heavenly Father has not planted, he says, someday is going to be uprooted. And then he makes this interesting statement about the false teachers. He says, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, what's going to happen? They're both, he says, going to fall into the ditch. That's a lot like the illustration of the intersection. Think about it. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. Imagine a blind person who can't see. He needs guidance. He needs someone to lead the way. And so he gets the help of someone, but he doesn't realize that person is also blind. It's really an almost comical illustration if you stop and think about it. And so he's letting this blind person lead him. The blind is leading the blind. Now, let's suppose he doesn't know that person's blind. You know, and he trusts that person. He has faith in that person. The person says, here, take my hand. I will lead you. If that leader falls into the ditch, is the fact that the man who was holding his hand was unaware that he was blind, is that going to protect him? No, of course not. It's just natural law. If the blind leads the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And Jesus is talking about, you know, teachers and how human teachers might mislead us. And our problem is that we would follow a blind person. And again, only God is true. Only God is 100% right. We should be very cautious about anything that men teach or anything that men say. And especially not just walking down a path next to a ditch or crossing an intersection, but especially in our relationship with God, because there's no more important, you know, endeavor of our existence as human beings. And Jesus said, every tree that is not, you know, planted by God, someday it's going to be uprooted. When I was first starting to preach, I had this impression about the religious world and something I really struggled with a lot, and I'm sure many of you have as well. My impression was that, you know, the Bible teaching is just so plain and easy to understand. Everything is just crystal clear, black and white. And anyone that didn't agree with what I understood to be true, they were either dishonest or they, you know, we're pursuing some kind of selfish, perhaps immoral agenda. In other words, they wanted to sin, so they twisted the Word of God to support the lifestyle they wanted to live. Or they were dishonest. You know, they knew that they were wrong, and they were just trying to mislead other people. But when I got out there, you know, and started trying to teach people and talk to people, and really that was the key, when I got to know people and spend time with people, now, I realized that these are good people, just as good, not better than myself. And in most cases, they are absolutely sincere. And maybe they are wrong about something, but it wasn't because they were dishonest or because they had impure motives. They had perhaps been misled, or they just did not understand the Bible the way that I did. And I think we all know that's true. If we're honest and we talk to people, good people who are sincere. Many times, you know, number one reason why people are what they are religiously is because that's what their parents were. And you stop and think about it. It's probably true of most of us. We are what we are. We have this attachment to the way that we were taught. Because it's what our parents taught. It's what our family has always taught. And so we're comfortable with that. And our pride gets involved. And again, a debate may arise, but we have to win. Because that's human nature. You know, we want to win. And so it's hard to be objective. It's hard to study things out, really, with an open mind. But the fact is, people are sincere, and they are genuine, and they are honest. And we just disagree maybe about what the Bible really says about a particular question. Well, this introduced me to another problem, and that was, you know, where do these good, sincere people stand with God? And that's an even tougher problem to deal with. Because maybe they are kind of like that blind leading the blind. Let's suppose that they are wrong about what they believe concerning the gospel. It's because they were taught wrong. And one consolation I have when I try to process and deal with all that is just to remember, I'm not the ultimate judge. You know, people do what they believe they ought to do. And one of the great lessons is we all need to keep studying and we all need to keep questioning our faith. But thank God, you know, I'm not the judge. You know, all I can do is study God's Word and do what I believe it says and try to study with other people and help them better understand if I believe they're wrong about some particular point of view. I think it's really helpful to look at what the New Testament says about the religious world, because that can be such a stumbling block. We tend to think if a good person teaches something, if a lot of good people believe something, it must be right. It must be acceptable. There's no way that God would reject good people who sincerely believe something. That's just such a mental difficulty to accept. But I think if we look at what the Bible says, look at what Jesus says, the Bible anticipates, you know, problems like this. That's what Jesus meant when he said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. And let's look at a couple other examples. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. One of the earliest warnings that he gave when he began teaching. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first recorded sermon. He said, you need to be careful. You need to beware of false prophets. They exist. This was right after in verse 13 and 14 when he said, to enter into the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way, he said, that leads to destruction. And there are many who go that way. But he said, there's a narrow way, a difficult way that leads to life. And this isn't fun to say, but Jesus said, you know, there are a few who find it. And then right after that, he said, beware of false prophets. There are false prophets in our world. Well, how would we know? He says, they come to you in sheep's clothing. In other words, they appear innocent. They appear harmless. Someone you think you can trust. Someone you think you can take their hand and say, guide me. I trust you to lead me in the right path. But that's not always the case. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now that last part kind of hints at the impression I was talking about that I had earlier, that, you know, maybe they're dishonest. Maybe they are, you know, operating based on some impure motives, some immoral agenda, intentionally deceiving others. Inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. But still, there's a warning there. Beware about false prophets. Shortly after that, Jesus says this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, a very, very serious setting. The judgment day is what he's talking about here. And he says, not everybody who calls me Lord is going to be accepted into heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. And so it is important that we study carefully to know God's will, and we do our best to do what the Bible teaches, what it says. And he goes on to say, and this is the really frightening part, many will say to me in that day, day of judgment, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonders in your name? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is one of the most frightening scriptures, I believe, in all the Word of God. Because he says on the day of judgment, there are going to be people who believe Jesus is Lord and who believe they are going to be accepted and be saved, and who did many good things in their life for God. But Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That word lawlessness, sometimes your version might say iniquity. We might think of that as some real heinous, gross, immoral sin, but really what the word means, lawlessness, is a real good interpretation or translation. It just simply means without God's law. So not doing things. Like he says in verse 21, he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. We've got to study to know God's word and do our best to do that. It's a very serious warning. And this is Jesus speaking. We need to take his words very seriously. You know, another scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, says we are to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Why would God hold someone responsible who was misled by a false teacher? Kind of like the blind person who's following the blind. And the answer is they should know better. If you're going to let someone guide you, you should ask them, are you blind? In the case of that illustration. But in the case of religion, we should not trust anyone. We should not have faith in men. We should have faith in God. And we should recognize that all men, you know, make mistakes. I know I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. None of us are perfect with respect to our knowledge. And that's why we all have to individually keep going back to the Word of God. Paul commands us to test everything. And so how could God hold someone responsible who he was just doing what his good parents, you know, who had always gone to church, had taught him to do? He didn't do anything wrong. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't obey this commandment. You know, the Bible tells us we must all examine everything. Don't trust men. But test all things, hold fast to what is good. And then there's a great example, of course, in the book of Acts, chapter 17. In verse 11, where the apostle Paul was traveling through the city of Berea, and it says they were very noble-minded, more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. The first few verses of Acts 17, Paul visited Thessalonica. He preached Jesus, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, and they just closed their ears and started persecuting him and kicked him out of the city, basically. And so he goes to Berea. These were more noble-minded or more fair-minded. Okay, what was it about them? He says, they received the word with all readiness. And look at this. They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. You know, they tested all things by the Word of God. They searched the Scriptures to see whether these things were so, and then they would hold fast to what is good. That's a great example that we all need to follow. Don't trust men. We certainly respect good men and appreciate, you know, their example. And that's one of the lessons I learned, that we should not just assume people are dishonest or immoral. Not at all. That's wrong for us to do that. But we should never trust men without first examining it and comparing it to the Word of God. And so we study God's Word and we learn what God's Word says. And that brings us to another stage in our spiritual development. And that is, what are we going to do with what the Bible says? John chapter 8, it says, as Jesus spoke these words, many people believed in him. And Jesus said to them, notice that he says, to those who believe in him. It's not enough just to believe that Jesus, again, is Lord. But he said, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Or some versions say, then are you truly my disciples. What does it really mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Not just believe that he's Lord, but it's to listen to his word, it's to open his word, to study it, and then to abide in it, to apply those things that we learn to our life. The next verse, verse 32, says, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But we must be willing to obey the things that God's word says. The famous early Christian theologian Augustine put it this way. He said, if you believe what you like in the Gospels. You know, and that's what I think a lot of us do. We just We accept the parts that we're comfortable with. And we reject the things that we don't like. He says if you believe what you like in the Gospels and reject what you don't like, it's not the Gospel that you believe, but it's yourself. You know, again, it's a misplaced faith. I trust myself. I'm confident with what I believe. I'll do what I feel is right. Instead of trusting God, the way we trust God and the way we truly show our faith in God is by reading His Word and accepting it and obeying it and doing what He says, even when we don't like it, even when it doesn't make sense to us, or maybe it's different from what we were always taught. That's when we truly become a disciple and a follower of Jesus. And another illustration of that is something Riley shared with me. And that is, someone said, you know, this is not a bag of trail mix, right? Everybody, you know what I'm talking about there. You get a bag of trail mix and you reach in and you pick out what? The M&Ms and the peanuts. And then there's these other dried fruit things. I don't know what they are. You just leave those. And at the end, that's all that's left in the bag, right? The Bible's not like a bag of trail mix. You can't just pick out the pieces that you like and ignore the rest. And that's exactly what we're saying, is that whatever it says, anything that it says, we need to study it and accept it. Even the parts that we don't like, we have to learn to like those as well. We need to trust God and to do all things that He says. And so, thinking back to, you know, that dilemma that I had earlier, it's a tough dilemma. It really is to realize that there are people, good people, that we disagree with. And I think that I learned a little bit of that lesson. You know, it's not likely that they're dishonest. And we shouldn't attribute, you know, impure motives like that to them. But that doesn't mean, you know, like we've seen so many scriptures, that just because someone is good or sincere, it doesn't mean that they or that we are right. And it certainly doesn't change every person's individual responsibility to study the Bible carefully for themselves. And it doesn't change our responsibility to share how we understand the Bible with people who disagree. It's so important. We need to be always searching for truth and a better understanding of God's Word, and then helping one another be obedient. What it should change is our attitude. We shouldn't have the attitude, I'm right and you're wrong. Rather, it should be, let's study this important matter together. I appreciate the fact that you believe in God and you believe the Bible, but let's study these important things. We shouldn't have the attitude that anyone who differs with me, they're lost. But maybe it should be more like, you know, this is what I believe, and this is why we do what we believe. And we would encourage to study the Bible with you so that we can all be sure we're living as God wants us to live, and all have a home in heaven someday when this life is over. We're going to sing one more song this morning, Just As I Am, that Ted has selected as an invitation. You know, I still think that the Bible is pretty plain when it comes right down to it. I don't understand, you know, how sometimes people disagree about certain questions. It seems pretty plain to me. And I want to conclude just by mentioning real quickly what Jesus said at the end of His life, after He had been crucified for our sins and raised from the dead, and He led His disciples out before He was ascending back into heaven. And He told His disciples, He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Those were the final instructions that Jesus gave His apostles, to go share this good news of His death with everyone. Make disciples of all nations. We saw a true disciple as someone who studies and abides in the words of Christ. People disagree about baptism. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To me, that's very plain. And I urge you to think seriously about what Jesus said in that passage. And if you've not yet obeyed that commandment of baptism, then I hope you'll think about what the Word of God says and be willing to be obedient to Him. And that's just where it begins. He says, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded. We've got to keep studying God's Word and doing our best to obey it all the days of our life. But God will accept us and He'll forgive us if we will believe in Him and turn our life over to Him in repentance and confess Him as our Savior and be baptized in water, He promises to wash away all of our sins and accept us as His child. If anybody here this morning needs to respond to His wonderful invitation in any way, we invite you to come and make that known. We can, as we stand together and sing at this time.